This is All Things Considered. I'm Will Michaels. It'll likely take several more days before the Marine Corps knows why a plane carrying seven service members from Camp Lejeune crashed earlier this week. Investigators are sifting through the wreckage that stretches for miles through soybean fields in rural Mississippi. In all, 15 Marines and a sailor were killed in the deadliest crash the military has seen in more than a decade. WUNC's military reporter Jay Price has been covering these developments, and he joins me now. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Will. Thanks for having me.
The Marine Corps held a press conference today to give an update on its investigation, but let me take a step back. What do we know about this particular plane?
Well, it was a KC-130, and that's one of several variations of the C-130 transport, which is a real, you know, the word workhorse is being used a lot this week. It's been in service for more than 60 years, and it's used by the Air Force, the Marines, the Navy, the Coast Guard, and, you know, more than 70 other countries. So it's been around for a long time, and it has a really great safety record. I've flown probably 20,000 miles on them myself, and they're pretty noisy and uncomfortable. Basically, you sit in canvas slings, kind of facing one side of the aircraft or the other, and it's pretty cramped. And, you know, so typically there's cargo, too, or at the very least, whatever the passengers are carrying. And if there is cargo, that and the luggage is all kind of lumped together on these giant pallets that are shoved in behind you. It's got a hydraulic flap. It's a giant door that swings down. And it can be loaded from the rear that way with you know, large fork trucks. And so you're sitting in there, and generally you feel kind of pinned in by that luggage and, you know, the freight. These Marines were bringing all their gear and supplies that their team would need for the training that they were headed for, and it would have been loaded down in some fashion similar to that. And the aircraft itself is like this giant aluminum drum. It just magnifies the drone of the four turboprop motors, and the crews just hand out earplugs before takeoff. It's so bad. So I've done long flights like this, almost this exact route, in fact, and you don't look forward to the suffering, but I can tell you I flatly was cheerful that we'd be on one of these every time I saw we were getting on one, because they're really, really robust and have just this stellar safety record.
So let me ask about the battalion. The Marines and the sailor who were based at Camp Lejeune were assigned to the 2nd Marine Raider Battalion. You've reported on that. What does that unit do?
Yeah, they're part of, you know, what originally was just simply called MARSOC, Marine Special Operations Command. They were renamed not too long ago as the Raiders, kind of hearkening back to a chapter of Marine history. Their headquarters is down at Camp Lejeune, actually kind of on this kind of auxiliary camp on the side of Camp Lejeune at a place called Stone Bay. And when I was down there just last year for their 10th anniversary, there's just a lot of construction. They're really kind of, you know, digging in, and they're going to be kind of a permanent part of things now. But they're really small. It's a really small outfit for special operations. They're just barely more than a tenth the size of, say, Army Special Operations. And, you know, these guys were operators, what are called operators. These are the frontline folks that do the shooting. And in this case, there were six of them, six operators and a Navy corpsman who has pretty much the same training, but also does medical. Handles the medical side of whatever is going on. He would have been the corpsman for their 14-person team, and I think half the team was already out there in Arizona where they were headed to train.
What kind of training is this?
Well, it's just simply called pre-deployment training, and it's part of kind of a build-up before they serve some sort of deployment overseas. In this case, they would have been traveling to Arizona because it looks a lot more like where they were going to fight. At least in part, that's why they were headed there. We know that much. They were going to be eventually deployed to somewhere in the Middle East, Northeast Africa, Afghanistan, that area. We're not told exactly where for various reasons, but certainly Arizona is a lot more like that and would be a lot more valuable for training purposes than, say, trying to train for those locations in the thick woods of southeast North Carolina.
So we got an update from the Marine Corps today about what might have caused the crash. There wasn't a whole lot of information other than something happened mid-flight at cruising altitude, and it happened abruptly. But when a crash or accident like this happens, what's the protocol?
Well, I mean, one of the protocols is they just clamp down on speculation as much as they possibly can, because these investigations can sometimes take months, or maybe even more than a year. This one was a little unusual. These planes just don't come apart in the air. This one was supposedly at about 20,000 feet cruising altitude when it disappeared from FAA radar, and the FAA notified the Pentagon that it was, you know, not there in the sky anymore, or something was wrong. And the local officials in Mississippi said the wreckage and bodies, just generally debris, was scattered over as much as 5 miles. That doesn't indicate the plane came down in a piece, in a single piece. One witness said it spiraled in. And, you know, if you look at the wreckage, the photos of the wreckage, it seems largely intact, even though it's quite badly damaged. But still, 5 miles, that says something came apart in a big way, pretty high up.
We do expect the leadership at Camp Lejeune to speak publicly for the first time tomorrow. What do you expect there?
Well, they typically wait, military waits about 24 hours after, at least 24 hours after notifying the last of the families of anyone who's been killed in an incident like this. So we should probably, I'm told, have the names tomorrow. The larger group, including the Marine reservists who were operating the aircraft, who were based out of New York State, there were 9 of them. And we should have all of the names tomorrow, is what I'm told. And the Marines are going to release the names and kind of biographical information about their folks here at Camp Lejeune. But, you know, how much we'll hear about what was going on, I don't know. The nature of this unit is they're pretty low key. They're amazing low key, and even low key by special operations standards. I suspect they've kind of struggled to figure out who to put in, you know, out there to talk a little bit, because there are plenty of people they can't put in front of cameras. But we'll hear a little bit more about the unit. We'll hear about the support they're offering the families.
Military reporter Jay Price, who also reports for WUNC's American Homefront Project. Jay, thanks for the update.
Thanks for having me, Will.